Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf mem hey. We're holding the final line a mem dalid on midbeis with the Gemara asks a kasha mosif Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna is asking a kasha on Ula. What did Ula say? If you look at the second wide line here on mem dalid on midbeis, ikkari amri, there was another version on Ula. What did Ula say? Ketanish niskacha shaloi v'das aviyah. We know the halacha is that a father has the absolute sole and exclusive right to go and marry off his daughter when she's a ktana, as biti nasati le'ish hazeh, and this extends even to when she becomes a na'ara. During the 3 months when she's a na'ara, before she becomes a boigeres, the father also has the absolute right to marry her off, and he keeps the kesef of kedushin. And back in Masechtas Gittin, we learned this from the pasuk v'yotza chinam, Ein kasef, ein kasef odin zeh, aber yesh kasef li odin acher. So all of that is pretty straightforward.
Now,
I'm sorry, once again.
Whether she can accept the kedushin of Shizanara, we get some machlokas, right?
That's correct. That's a shaila we had a couple of days ago. But here, what our Gemara is now discussing is what happens if you have a ktana, not even a nara. Ktana doesn't have a yad, and she's miskadish shaloi v'das aviya without asking her father. She's being entirely brazen, if you will. She's taking kesef kedushin. Her father didn't agree. Her father may not even know what's going on. We see Barry. We see you in double. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, so Ula says if a ktana took kesef kedushin shaloi v'das aviya, she's gunish mit gunish. A filamion in its richa. She doesn't need anything. And Rashi already said yesterday on the second white line, she ain't masa katana klum b'chayavi. As long as her father is alive, what she does is worthless, meaningless, nothing. Okay, very good. Freit digmara, masa rabba nuna, the final line on the amit. Ain't moichra the kreidin. Mishim rablaza amru moichra the kreidin. What is this all about? So we have this machlokes already earlier on in our Masechta. This is talking about a person that sold his daughter for an Oma Ivriya. So what's the halacha when one sells one's daughter Oma Ivriya? We know from the Torah that one of the major aspects of Oma Ivriya is that the Odoin or his son have the right to do Yud. Yud is marriage, and we just use the term Yud in connection with an Om Evriya, but otherwise it's basically the same as a regular marriage. Okay, so what's the halacha? What happens if I want to go and sell my daughter to a Korov, the type of Korov which would be an Erva, to whom my daughter cannot marry? For instance, Reuven wants to sell his daughter to, maybe talk about Osher. Osher wants to sell his daughter Serach to his father, to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, here's my daughter, she's not bas mitzvah yet, she needs to get a shidduch, I want you to go and be the odoin, she'll be the amivriya. Would Yaakov Avinu be able to go and do yid with his own granddaughter? Of course not. A person not going to marry his einikol, that's ridiculous. Okay, so is the sale even effective? Says the Braisa, Ein moichra l'kroivim. Since you cannot do yud, then the whole sale as an omevriya is not valid. You cannot go and sell unless there's a possibility of yud. Mishum Rebleza Amru, no, moichra l'kroivim. You can sell her for kroivim after all, even though there is no possibility of yud. What's the reason why? We had in the beginning of Mar Masechta, because it says in the beginning of Parashas Mishpatim, Kiyinkar ish as bitoy li ama, says the Gemara, sometimes you sell your daughter only for an ama, divorced from the right to do yud. When would that be? In our case, when you sell to a karev to whom she cannot have yud, okay, there won't be yud, but there will still be a sale for an ama. Ki yimkar ish as bitoy li ama, just for an ama, nothing else. So we have a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rav Lazar. Tanakama says, "Ein moichel akroivim." Yid is such an essential part of the Oma Ivriya that if she can't have yid, then the sale is meaningless. And Rav Lazar said, "No, you can sell after all." Gzeiras akasev li'ama. top of Mem Hey Amud Aleph, the Shavin, and both of them agree. Tanakam and Rebbe Lezer, Shemoichra Alman LeKoyin Gadol Gerusha Bakalutzah Koyin Hedget, that he could sell her if she's already an almana. Could you imagine? We're talking about a ketana because we're selling her potentially for an amavriya. Amavriya can only sell when the girl is still a ketana. This ketana nebuch is already an almana. She's all of 8 or 10 years old, and she's nebuch already a widow. Huh. So what's the din? He's allowed to go and sell her to a kohen gadol if the girl is already a grusha v'chalutz. He's allowed to sell her to a kohen hedget. Why is this permissible? This is also asur. So Rashi says, even though, of course, there's an isur involved for a kohen gadol to marry an almana or a kohen to marry a grusha v'chalutza, however, it doesn't rise to the level of kedusha not being toyface. In the case that we spoke about before, when one sells one's daughter to one's own father, then the kedusha is not toyface, because a father or a grandfather cannot marry his own daughter. However, although Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana, if he did, kedushin toifsim chayove lavin. So since there is the possibility, even though it's an illegal possibility, but there is a possibility of the odoin being able to go and being miyayed this girl, he's not allowed to, but if he did it, it's effective. What's the halacha? Everybody would agree that the mechira to amivriya is an effective mechira. So that's what it said in the braisa. What does it have to do with us? So, can you describe to me the background? How did this 8 or 10 year old become an almana in the first place? We're talking about that the father was mekadesh her previously, because she couldn't be mekadesh herself. So the father had to go and be mekadesh her to somebody else. Mi motzi mazvin lo, can he now subsequently go and sell her? Once the father sold her as a wife, in other words, once he gave her over in holy matrimony to a chosin, and he has that right, this bitin asatil isha zen, nothing wrong. But if, unfortunately, after that marriage terminated, how, for instance, if the husband died, that almana case, is he allowed to go and sell her now? No, because a person cannot go and sell his daughter l'shivchus achar ishus. What's the mocker, what's the source? So you remember we had this in the beginning of our Masechta, because it says in the Pasuk, Liyucha lemochra bevigdoi va. The Gemara had a machloikis. What means bevigdoi? And one man the other said bevigdoi means when piris beged oleha. The word bevigdoi stands for the word beged, and it's reminiscent of the yekisha chuppis. If you've ever gone to a German chuppah, you'll see that the chus and kala put on a talis jointly together under one talis. So here too, he allowed this daughter. He gave this daughter into marriage. The husband now spread out his talis over her. What's the din? Once that has taken place, he cannot subsequently sell her again. He cannot sell her if he has already previously given her into marriage where the husband has extended his begad over her. So, what are we talking about? We're saying here in the Braith Hashem and Shemoyecher Almana, he can't go and sell as an almana, forgetting about whether you could make yud, you cannot make yud. If she's an almana, because he, the father, previously gave her over into marriage, he can't sell her anyway, because ain't shivchas acharishus. El alav, so l'chor, the only case that we must be talking about is the kodesh ihi navsha, that not that the father sold her, but she sold herself. And after she sold herself, when I say sold, that she sold herself off into marriage to someone. She agreed to take Kesef Kedushin from Ayid Ruvain, and therefore, even though she was only 10 years old, she took the money. The father was not aware. The father didn't know anything about it. He certainly didn't consent or acquiesce. And nevertheless, if Chas Hashem, that Ruvain passes away, then she becomes an almana. And we're saying that he can go and sell her now as she's an almana. And even though there's ain't shivchas acharishus, that's referring to when the father was the one that caused her to be a married lady. But if he were implemented the Vigdivar that there's a husband that spread his talis, his beged, over her, he can no longer sell. However, since she sold herself, the father was not involved, at this point he can sell her as an omivria. Oh, so what do we see from this? Is the Hashtar Kakasha on Ula, because Ula said that a Ketanish and Iskacha Lerudas Aviyah is meaningless. You don't even need Niyun. So you certainly, then the whole marriage was nothing. If the marriage is nothing, why do we call her an almana? Is the chasimin that a girl who's at ketana, if she's mekavish herself, then it is a good marriage.
I understand how that works legally. Hold on here. Just bekitzer, how did it work?
Reuven, who is over bar mitzvah, goes over to Sprinza, who's 10 years old, and hands her a silver coin, which is worth more than a dinner. So not only Beishamai, not only Beisil, but even Beishamai would agree there's enough Kesef Kedushin. And he says to her, Hari at mekudeshes li b'tabazu, or b'madbeyazu kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. She smiles and she accepts. The father is not present, the father is either in Africa, or the father is at home. He knows nothing about this. There are two Edom that are present, so even have the Masada Kedushin, who makes all the brachas. Everything is done like a traditional, normal marriage, except for the fact that she's only a 10-year-old girl, and the father is not presiding, the father is not involved. The question is, does this marriage have any legal validity? So we had Uli yesterday that this marriage is a fraud. It's worthless. It's meaningless. Says the Gemara, L'choy Avarai, from this price, that it is meaningful. Because I called this girl an almana who's being sold by her father as an omivria. If the father had previously given her over into marriage, he couldn't possibly consider selling her. Ain't shifcha sacharishus. So it must be that she herself implemented the marriage by taking the kesef kedushin, taking the ring, and she was maskim to the marriage. And unfortunately, the marriage did not last long because her husband Nebuch was killed in a terrible car accident. So now she's an almana. Says the Braisa, the father can go and sell her. So we see that even though she was Mekadesh herself means not under the auspices of her father, she did it independently, she is still a bona fide marriage, and she is a bona fide almana, and now the father can go and sell her to be an omivri. Is a shver on Ula that said that such a marriage is meaningless? Everyone, Omer of Amr, Omer of Yitzchak, Kacha b'Kedusha Yiyud, Valiv Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Oh, the Omer Moshe Rishon is Lav the Kedusha Nino. You remember the Gemara brought this already earlier on, back on Daf Yud Ches. What is this Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? Normally, how does an Omevriya, how is she niskadesh to the Odoin or to the son of the Odoin? Okay, we call that Yiyud. How do you effect that? How do you implement that? So other than Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, everybody else agrees that the Moshe Rishonos L'Kedushin Nitnu, meaning the Odoin paid L'Moshel $1,000 for this Oma Ivriya, included in what he purchased was not only her services as an Oma Ivriya to be a slave, a maidservant in his home, or for him, but over and above that, that is all to the Kesef Kedushin if the Odin eventually decides to marry her. He doesn't even have to marry her immediately. You recall we had on Daf Yud Ches that those that do not learn like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda hold that the Odin can go and marry her a minute before Shkia or a minute before Tzeisak Kechovim at the end of her period of being a slave. Let's assume that she was sold early, at the age of 5 years old. She's going to work for 6 years. We don't have any simanim having her come out early. So, 5 years old, now she's about to celebrate her 11th birthday, and she's about to go free. A minute before the 6 years are over, the Odin says to the young lady, I want to go and marry you. Let us perform yiyud. He has the right to do so because he had already paid. He doesn't have to give her a new ring. He doesn't have to give her any money. Because the Moshe Rishon is from 6 years ago, that $1,000 that he paid to the Odin, not to the Av, already includes the Kesef Kiddushin. That's what everybody else holds. Under those circumstances, the din of Ein Shivchus Acher Ishus would apply because the father did sell her in marriage. He didn't sell her exclusively in marriage. He sold her for a Shivcha, but the Shivcha included marriage if the Odin, or if the son of the Odin, decides to perform Yud. However, Agamor says, we're going to contribute to Yehuda. That sells Moiz Mishon, it's lovely Kiddushin Ninnu. So, Oy Bazoi, so how does the Odin, how is he Mekadish the young lady? So remember we said in the Gemara before that we have to do an amortization schedule and figure out how much service does she still owe based on the original purchase price. So take out your calculators. If it was $1,000 and it was for 6 years, so that means each year was approximately $160 or so. Now divide that up into 365 days or so, and then each half hour worth a shava pruta, as long as the amount of servitude that she owes still to the odin is more than a shava pruta. Let's assume that that's an hour, for instance. If he's mekadesh before that hour, then he can be mekadesh because he says I mekadesh you with the remaining shava pruta value of services that you owe me. So it's not from the original Kesef Kiddushin. It's an ongoing amortization which keeps on going down, down, down. So at the end of the 6 years, don't be Mekadosher a minute before Shkia or Tzeisek Kechavim. Go and be Mekadosher at least an hour before or 2 hours before, where you know that there's still a Shova Pruta of servitude that she owes to him. He's now going to be Moichel her that Shova Pruta. I'm going to say, here, you have that Shova Pruta. You don't have to work for me anymore. And guess what? Instead of that, I am marrying you. In such a case, everybody agrees, or at least Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds, that this would be a good yield, a good kedushin, and therefore this was an ishus that she herself made, not that the father made, because the father took the $1,000 and he's already spent it a long time ago, and that is not for the kesef kedushin. What's for the kesef kedushin is the amount of servitude that's left based on her 6 years, based on the giroin kesef, the amortization of the original monies. Those look at stigmar. So therefore you don't have a ein shivchus achar ishus, because ein shivchus achar ishus is only if the father sold her into matrimony. Here she sold herself. How? With that remaining shavapruta of the servitude. There everybody agrees that according to Yosef Yehuda, that would be a valid kiddushin. And if it's a valid kiddushin, if the odin subsequently dies, she becomes an almana. If she's still 11 and 3/4 and she's not 12 years old yet, says the Braisa, the father can go and sell her as an almana l'kayin gadol. So bottom line is, we no longer have a kasha on Ula, because we're not talking about a situation where a ktana took money on her own without her father's participation and acquiescence, and she got married. Here, when the father sold as an Amavriya, he anticipated that she might very well get married, so it was Bedas Aviyah, and therefore this case has really nothing to do with Ula's case. Zokim Arvai to Itmar. Meis v'nofluf nei ochiv li'ibum. Now what is this case? Again, we're talking about the same situation where you have a ktana that married herself off. In other words, like we said before, that the chosin gave her a ring, she was only 10 years old, hariat mekudeshesli b'tabazu, she accepted it, the father was not available, the father wasn't there, and they got married. Okay, we just spoke until now about Ula's view, that Ula said that this whole thing is meaningless, it's a charade, nothing happened. However, you'll recall yesterday, before we got to Ula, we had Shmuel. And then we had Rav that agreed with Shmuel. Now what did Shmuel say? If you go back to yesterday's Mem Dalid Omid Beis, and about 10 lines, 12 lines before the wide lines, go down about two-thirds the Omid, two dots, we start a new Gemara, Itmar, Ketamish Neskacha Shalog the Dasavia. Oh, our very case. She didn't have her father there, she took the money. Omishmul, Tzricha Get, Utzricha Mion. this young lady needs both a get and a mion. And then Karna said, come on, Dvorim Begav, I don't understand. If it's a get, then it's not a mion. If it's a mion, it's not a get. What's this all about? And then the Gemara explained, Taima Mai, go to four lines prior to the wide lines. The Gemara said, Taima Mai, what's Taka Desvara? It doesn't make sense. If it's a Kedushin D'Araisa that requires a get, then you don't need mion. If it's a Kedushin D'Rabbanan that requires mion, then you don't need a get. How could it be both? I mean, it's impossible. So Omer V'Acham Rei D'Vichet. Three get Shem and Esrato Abi Kedushin. It's talking about that subsequently the father heard about it, and maybe he agreed. Now, his subsequent agreement, how does that work, L'Mafreya? So you remember the Gemara said it's talking about a case that they had v'hu d'shidchu. That was Rav Nachman. Hu d'shidchu means that they were discussions already in advance. We're not talking about a boy meets a girl and gives her kesef kedushin. We're talking about that there was quote unquote a shidduch that was read with or without a shachin. And the father said, you know what? This young man makes a very fine impression. He comes in, he's idle, he's a balmidus. I feherd him, and he knows half of Shas Baal Peh. I think this would be a wonderful chasen. Hopefully we can work out the terms. And then the daughter calls back that night. She sends an email to her father. Father, Mazel Tov, I became a Kala. How did I become a Kala? I am married, because this fine young man that you spoke so nicely about gave me a Madbeah, or gave me a Tabas, a ring, and I said, sure, I'd love to get married to you. In such a case, although at the time of marriage the father knew nothing about it, but when he hears subsequently that she got married to this young man of whom he approved, so then lechatchila l'mafreya we say, oh, it's a good kedushin, but not that I say for sure. Yomora says that I'm choishish shem on esrata abi kedushin, and therefore be mechayiv a get. Now tzricha miyun shem aloy nisrata abi kedushin v'yoymre in kedushin toysim v'achoysa. What does that mean? To go and say that she has to have a get is fine, we're being machmir. We don't know for sure whether the father did agree or didn't agree, and if, even if he does agree, we don't know that it works l'mafreya. On the bad, you know, to be on the safe side, let her get a get, that we know for sure we're done, we don't have to worry about it. Now, if in fact she's going to get a get, what happens if that same chosin says, okay, I made a boo-boo, I married this girl when she was a ktana, I shouldn't have done that, but this ktana has an older sister. And this older sister, she's such a fine young lady. She's 15 years old, she's 20 years old. You know what? I'm going to go and marry her. Now all of you are going to immediately jump up and say, how can he go and marry the sister? V'isha el achoysa loisikach, litzror, legalis, ervos aleh bechayeha. Even if you're not married to two sisters simultaneously, but you cannot marry them sequentially either if the first sister is still alive. If she passed away, that's a different story. Bechayeha. But if the first sister is still alive, and a person gave her a get, then you're not allowed to go and marry the sister. Why can't you go marry the sister? Because Isha L'choysa L'isikach, like we just said. So if I'm going to be machmir, and say in a case where this girl was mekadesh herself without her father being involved, what do I say? Let's be on the safe side. Let's go and give a get that people automatically will assume that if he subsequently proposes and marries the second one, that marriage is meaningless because ain't kedushin toifs and bachoisa. But Rabbi, it might very well be that the reason why Umachai the get was just a chumrah, a cheshash, shema the father is going to be nisratza. But maybe not. And even if he is nisratza, maybe it's too late. At the time of the kedushin, he should have been nisratza, not subsequently. And therefore, if in fact it was not a marriage, and they do not require a get, then guess what? He would be able to marry the second sister. And if he marries the second sister, it is valid and effective. But people are going to go and say, come on, ain't kedushin toysim b'achoysa. They're making a mistake because they think that the get is mitzad vadai, but it's really only being given mitzad tzofik. So to be able to go and underline and stress that this is only a get mitzad tzofik, you know what we do? We say, besides the get, let her also perform Miyun. By performing Miyun, then everybody understands, it's very possible that this was not a real Kedushin. It wasn't a Kedushin in our Torah. All she has to go and say is, I changed my mind, I'm in my MS. And she's free. She doesn't need a get, she doesn't need anything else. So the purpose, therefore, of the Miyun is to, if you will, undermine the get, in the sense that people shouldn't think, oh, I know for sure that she was married to the first one. Maybe she wasn't. That's why you give both get and Miyun. Now, our Gemara builds on that. We continue back to our Gemara here, Memhei. We had such a case. The Reuven married Sprint since she was only 10 years old. And what happens now? So, if they decided to part ways, she would have to have both a get and a Miyun, according to Shmuel. And Rav applauded Shmuel yesterday, so both Rav and Shmuel would hold, you need both a get and Miyun. But guess what happened? Ma asa Kodesh Baruch Hu, this Reuven that married Sprinza, Rachman Litzlar Nebuch, he passed away. And now the question is, does she fall the Yimim to the brother? Was it a good Kedushin? Was it not a good Kedushin? So the Gemara basically says, you know what? We're going to go and throw in one more thing. Besides the get and the miyun, she'll also need a chalitza. But there'll be a difference if there was a maimer or not, as we'll see. Zoktimor itmar. Meis v'nofel afnei, ochiv or echov liyibam, she folds now to a brother, for yibam, omavuna merach. Mima'enes lima'amoroi, ve'ena mima'enes lizikosoi. She can be mima'en, go and say miyun, I don't want the maimer, but she can't be mamayin to the Zika. What does that mean? See, more explains. Ketzad. This Yavam now goes over to the young lady, who he assumes is his Yavama, because she was married to his brother Reuven, even though she was married without the consent and acquiescence of the father. So it's a questionable, because Shemin is Ratzav. But the Yavam decided, I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to go and give her minor. The Yavam probably thought to himself, Mamanifshach, if in fact the Kedushin was Chal, then good, so she is now a bona fide Yavama, I'm a Yavam, I'll perform Maimer, and then we'll perform Yavam at a later stage. And if it turns out that she was never married to my brother, so I'm marrying her. What's the problem? She was never married, so let me marry her. So he did this totally innocently, Osaba Maimer. What's the locha now? At this point, if they part ways, tzricha she needs, tzricha get, or tzricha chalitza, or tzricha miyun. The get and miyun is just like yesterday, that Shmuel and Rav, because maybe the father agreed, maybe the father didn't agree, maybe it wasn't effective, chasen, maybe it wasn't. Give both get and miyun. Get because we're being machmir, min hatoyra, that maybe it was a good marriage, she needs a get. But just in case, afterwards they'll say that if he wants to go and marry the sister, they'll say, Ain kedushin toisim b'choisa, because he was married to the sister. That's why we're mechayiv also miyun. But here we're throwing in also chalitza, because after all, maybe she's a yavama. So we need all three. And the Gemara now explains in detail. Tzricha get shem nisratza av b'kedushin sheini. She needs a get because since when we say the word kedushin, we really mean the maimer. The maimer that was given by the second brother, maybe the father agrees. Remember, she's still a ketana. She's not yet a nara. And now she's going through yet another marriage. She's Nebuch already a widow from the first husband, all at the ripe old age of 10 years old, Nebuch. And now she is a yavama. So she needs a get, because Shem Nisratza Ab Kibush Hashani. The yavam gave her kesef maimer again without the father's participation. So it's the same thing of a girl being mekadesh atzma shloi ledas avia, but maybe when the father hears about it, he's maskim. So you know what? Go and give a get because of that minor. Tzricha chalitza. She also needs a chalitza. Shem nisratza av b'kiddush harishon. Maybe the av was maskim to the original marriage. Had the original husband not died, we would need a get because maybe shem nisratza av. Unfortunately, the first husband died, so he's not going to give a get. However, if in fact there was a good marriage, then guess what? So then there's a good zika to the yavam. Fine. So then you have to have a chalitza. Shem nisrava abigidushe rishon. Maybe he was masking to the first marriage. You need a chalitza. Tzricha miyun. Shem loy nisratza av. Maybe the father was not maskim. Loi b'kdusha rishon, loi b'kdusha sheni. He's flabbergasted. He's not happy about any of this. V'yoyimru ain't kedushin teisim b'choisa. If you're going to go and say that she requires a get mitamion, you know, people will say, oh, you see that not a mir, a get and a chalitza, it must mean that this was valid and effective min ha-toira. That's why she needs a get. That's why she needs a chalitza. And therefore, if he subsequently wants to go and marry the sister, he cannot, because of the fact that isha l'chaisa l'isikach. But the truth of the matter is, if he did marry the sister, maybe it is a good marriage after all, because maybe he wasn't married to the first girl, the first husband wasn't married, and the Yavam's Maimer wasn't Chal, because the father's not masking. So therefore we have the Mians, everybody realizes, if in fact he marries the sister, he would have to have a get, because maybe the first Kedushin was not Chal, and this Kedushin with the second sister is Chal. No, you have to have a get, so that he shouldn't be Oivan Ister, potentially. That's all if the Yavam did perform Maimer. What happens, loyos of a maimer? In other words, you have a yavam. He intended to go and perform maimer, but he didn't do maimer yet. At the moment, there is only a zika. What do we need at this point? All you need is chalitza. Now, why do you only need chalitza? L'choira, we should say, like we said before, according to Shmuel and according to Rav, that you should have to have chalitza plus a miyun. Because if you're going to have a chalitza, people will say, oh, that means that the first marriage was a bona fide marriage. That means that the yibum, not the yibum, but the zika was a bona fide zika. And therefore, if now the yavam decides to go and marry the second sister, he wouldn't be able to go and marry the second sister because of achois chalutzasoi. And therefore, you should have a miyun to go and undermine the thought that maybe Nisratza Av, and make sure that he doesn't, that if he does propose and marries the sister, he better get a get, because maybe in fact this is a valid marriage. It's not ein kedushin toifsin be'achos chalutzasai, because maybe in fact he was not married to the first one, and the maimer and the original yibun, that the zika was maybe gornish. So, Frank Dimara, why are we saying that there's only a din of chalitza? Maybe there should be a din of miyun as well, just like we said back on the Amud Beis, and just like we said over here now, in the case of where he did give maimer, that we required get chalitza and miyun. So, Dimara, my amrs, tiboy nami miyun. You're going to say we should require miyun too. Shem yoimru ein kedushin toitzim b'achoisa. Same svara that we had before. Hakol yoidim achois chalutza d'rabbanon. Everybody knows achois chalutza is not the same din as achois ishtoi. Isha achois aloi sikach. That's a pasuk. That's the arais. Dear, I'm very nervous that people will say that the first marriage was chal, effective, and now if he proposes and marries the second sister, people say that the marriage is not effective, it's gurnish, it's an erva. They won't require a get. But maybe the first marriage was not chal, and therefore we do need a get after all. Because of that, we do a miyun to go and undermine the marriage to show that it's a suffix. Maybe it was chal, maybe it wasn't chal. However, what's the problem over here? The problem over here is the original husband never passed away. So now we're talking about the second husband, which is the Yavam, who has not given Maimer. He was going to. He didn't get a chance. What happens now? He gives her Chalitza. Oh, so now when he gives her Chalitza, would he be able to go and marry the sister? So you're going to tell me, no, he's not allowed to. Just like Isha L'Choise, you're not allowed to go and marry the sister of your wife. You're not allowed to go and marry the sister of your Chalitza. That's true. But it's only Drabbanan, it's not the Oiraisa. The Omri Shlokish Kanchan Rebbe, Achois Grushim the Oiraisa, Achois Chalutza Midivre Sofrim. And therefore, so what does the Gemara mean? Because Achois Chalutza is Drabbanan, and everybody recognizes that, if this Yavam afterwards goes and marries the sister of his Yavama, and you're going to say, oh, we're going to have all types of problems, because people will think that it's not Chal because he was married originally, or he had a Zika originally to the first sister. Rabbi Isai, even though he's not allowed to marry the second sister, if he married her, the Kiddushin is Chal. And everybody knows that the Kiddushin is Chal. So I don't need a Mion to go and undermine the Chalutza, that people shouldn't think that that second marriage is Gunish. No, no, no. The second marriage, it's a marriage be Isur. Midrabanan, it's also to marry Achoyz Chalutzase. But if you did it, it works, it's effective, and they are husband and wife, and everybody knows that. And if ultimately they want to get divorced, he'll have to go and give a get, because it was an effective marriage after all. And with this, we've concluded that shtickel about the Maimer and the Mion, and now we go off to a related issue. Hano Beitrei, the Gemara tells us a story. You have two people, they have a Kashosu Chama, that they were drinking. Where were they drinking wine? To say Tzipi, the Bavel. It was in Bavel, underneath a Tzipi. What a Tzipi? Rashi has two explanations. First pshat says Rashi means a tzafzafa tree. What's a tzafzafa tree? Even today in Eretz Yisrael, if you are familiar, you can easily identify a tzafzafa. A tzafzafa is similar to, but different than, an arava. We're going to use aravos in another couple of days as part of our arba minim. So, if you are traveling in Eretz Yisrael, you go down the roads. If anybody that has any knowledge, he'll say to you, oh, see over there, that's a tzafzafa tree. That tzafzafa are apparently nice trees, and these two people were sitting underneath the tree and they were drinking. Rashi says another pshat, that not that they were underneath a tree, but rather that it was a terrace extending from, or an awning if you will, extending in front of a house. In other words, you had a house that had multiple floors, and the second floor, like you have in Eretz Yisrael, many people have these terraces or these porches in front of them. Here, the terrace was not made out of concrete that you can stand on. It was just made out of machzolois, nesunois, al gabi zizin, habot mishusram. I'm reading from the Rashi, three lines from the bottom of the Amid. Machzolois are mats, in a sense similar to many of the schach mats that people use today, the bamboo mats they use on top of their sukkahs. So you add all to this type of mat, which is nosen, which is extending over zizin. Zizin means shelves, not really total shelves, but at least beams which are protruding from the building. And you put on top of that a nice machzalis, and that gives you a bit of shade, and the two people are sitting below, and they are drinking wine, and they're having a good time, and Rabbi has a question.
Why is this important to our discussion? I mean, how is this relevant if they were under a willow tree or they were under a zizi? I mean, in Rashi, it has been, no, Tafket is a zizi, this is not some willow tree that we are talking about.
You're asking a very good question. The type of questions you're asking can be asked, and I'm sure you consider these things throughout Shas. Very often the Gemara will say, this person was standing, Bibura de Dasha, he was standing on the porch, he was standing in front of the threshold, he was sitting here, he was sitting there. The Chari has absolutely no relevance. Perhaps those that are more Kabbalistically inclined or esoteric, maybe there is some special significance. But on the surface, it doesn't seem to be any significance at all.
The pshat doesn't, it's not negir.
On the choyr, it's not negir, right. On the simple pshat level, it's not negir. So they were sitting there having a good time taking a drink, and it was a, if you want, like an outdoor cafe, drinking the wine together, and shok l'chad minayu kasa de chamra, one of them took a kos full of wine, yov le l'chavra, and he gave it to the other chavra, and he says, you know, we're such good friends, I'd like to become mechutanim with you. And therefore, omer mekadshe li baratech libri. This jug of wine that I'm handing you, this is worth at least a shava pruta, presumably even more than a shava dinner. So everybody, beishamim, beisil, both would agree there's enough kesef kedushin. And he says, I want to go and be meshadech with you. Baratech libri, your daughter to my son. Your daughter, presumably who was less than Bulgaris, either Tanu or Enara, so the father has a right to go and marry her off. So the father of the chosen of the boy says to the father of the girl, I'd like to go and be, let's be meshadach, here is the wine, the equivalent of kesef kedushin, and let the son and the daughter be married. The question is, does this have any legal effect at all? So Amar Avinu, two lines from the bottom. Even according to Maniyam that we said by the girl that was Mekadish Atzma Shaloy Ladas Aviha, he said maybe the father was maskin, maybe the father was not maskin. Even according to Maniyam that Chayshinon Zoktimura Abba Shema Nisratza Aben Loyam Rinan. After all, the son also has a daya in this, he's becoming the married husband. We have as Bitin Asatil Isha said, the father has a right to go and marry off his daughter. The father has a right to go marry off not only Ktana, but even Anara. But a father doesn't have a right to go marry off the son unless he's appointed a shliach. And we're assuming at this moment that he was not appointed a shliach. And therefore, L'chayra, what he did was totally ineffective. By the girl, you can start declaring that if she took marriage upon herself, and then subsequently, Nisratza Av, then maybe it worked, maybe it didn't work. Here we're talking about Shem Nisratza Ben, that we never even considered, because a father has nothing to do with the Ben is an independent fellow. Now we're assuming, of course, that he is already Bar Mitzvah, and therefore he can go on the Mekadosh on his own. So therefore, Shem Nisratza Ben Le'emrinon, and although the drink may have been delicious wine, but one thing is certain, they're not married. Why? We don't know all the fact pattern in the background. Maybe in fact the son said to his father, Tati, Abba, I want you to go and marry me off to an eligible girl. And maybe therefore he was a shliach. Maybe this was a good marriage. So person doesn't have a chutzpah to go and say to his father, I authorize you to be my agent. Who are you, you chutzpinyak, you 13 years old, you 15 year old, you're talking to your father, he should be your agent. Maybe you should be his agent, but not that you should be his, that the father should be an agent for the son. So he wouldn't have that chutzpah, we don't have to worry. Fakimor Vidilma Artsuya Artsekame. Although in fact he wasn't an agent, but maybe the father had discussed the shidduch previously with the son, and the son said, you know, Tati, Abba, this would be a wonderful shidduch. I know the girl because I've heard so many wonderful things about her from her brothers and from people in the community. They say, what a tzedekis, what a good neshama, I'd love to go and be married. Fine. So the father said, well, let me see what I can do. And then the father, in a happy moment under the willow tree, he goes and hands over the cross and says, let's go and perform a marriage now. And although he wasn't appointed as a shliach, but says Rashi, Zochin l'adam shaloi b'fana. Since the son has already told his father, I would like this shidduch, so he's being zoich on his behalf. So maybe it should be a good chasen after all. Amalei Rabba Bar Simi b'feirish amamar, t'leisover l'had de Rabbi Shmuel. Says Rabba Bar Simi, I heard b'feirish in the name of Mar, Mar meaning Ravina, the one that said over here that there's nothing to worry about. Look there, that the reason is because Ravina rejects Rav and Shmuel of yesterday. That's the Rav and Shmuel that we've just been talking about for a few minutes about the Shem and the Sratza Av. Therefore, it's like a koshkin, says Rashi, or a kal b'chayman. Madach, when the father has rights vis-a-vis the daughter to go and marry her off, Ravina says, if the father was not present, was not involved, and the girl was Mekadish herself, Miskadish herself, to the Chosin, it's worthless. Similar to what we had with Ula, that Ula said, Ketanish Niskatshu Ledas Aviyah, Afilu Miyun Enes Rech, you don't need anything, a Masa Ketan is worthless. Zero. Ah, so just like in that case, the Masa Ketan is worthless, here the Masa HaBen, without the word, it's actually the Masa Av, that he did on behalf of his Ben, is also worthless. The son himself has to be the one that does the kiddushin. We don't say the svaras of Shem Nisratza, Yon Nisratza, forget about it. The son has to do it himself. He's not going to point his father as a shliach, so then he can send his own shliach, somebody else. But he has to go and perform the marriage, or his shliach has to perform the marriage. And when the father did it, it was nothing. And now we have a new case. Ha'ugavra de kodesh bekisha de yarka beshuka. You have a person that was mekadesh bekisha de yarka. What's Kisha? The Yarka, Rashi says Kisha is an aguda. Aguda means a bundle. And Yarka means Yarokas, vegetables. It was a bundle of carrots. So he's Makavish, his kala, with a bundle of carrots. Bishuka, in the gas, in the street. And the Gemara leaves out one important factor that Rashi supplies, and the Kalu was a Ketana that's marrying herself off Shaloi L'dasavir, without her father's consent, without her father's knowledge. So what's the din now? Even according to Rav and Shmuel, that said that maybe the father was maskim and it would be a good kedushin. When do I have that shemanis ratzav? Only if it's a normal situation where he's being makadisher in a dignified manner. But if he's marrying her in the middle of the street and giving her a bunch of carrots? Come on! That's repugnant almost. The father would be masking to such a shidduch. You chuzen, if you want to marry her, go and take a wedding call, or at least a nice room somewhere, and put on a nice ring. But to go and give her, in the middle of the street, give her the kish of the yarka. So therefore, everybody would agree that this is meaningless, this chasana didn't take place, is gunish mit kunish. Omalei Rav Acha midifle Ravina. Bizoyin demai. Which aspect of this story was the bizoyin? I bizoyin the yarka. It's that he went and married her with a bunch of vegetables. Or I bizoyin the shuka that he did in the middle of the street. So you're going to ask me, what's a nafkimina? A bizoyin is a bizoyin. Nafkimina, the kodesh bekaspa b'shuka. Or bekisha the yarka b'beisa. What would happen if he gave her a nice, beautiful ring in the middle of the street? So in terms of the Kess of Kedushin, it was very nice. It's a very pretty ring. Everybody looks at it and says, oh, really a classic, beautiful ring. But he did Bishuk, he did it in the middle of the street. That's obviously not proper. Remember we had the Rav was Mangid Amanda Mekadish Bishuka, Amanda Mekadish Babir, Amanda Mekadish Balei Shiduchi. So therefore, this is not the right thing to do. But at least it's not a Bizoin if he gives her a nice, beautiful ring. But it's still the shuka. On the other hand, what happens if he took out a beautiful wedding hall at the Waldorf Astoria? He paid a lot of money for a gorgeous, gorgeous wedding hall, but instead of buying a ring, he gives her a bundle of yarokis, of vegetables. So, is it a good, do I say sheminis ratzav, or do I say no? So, which aspect is the bizoy? It's mine. Omalaisi told him, idi v'idi derech bizoyinu. Either one of them, or both of them, are bizyonis. So therefore, whether it's kaspa, bishuka, or whether it's kisha diyarka, bebesa, under all circumstances, this man, the Omer Ravina, says, it's meaningless. Why? Because the father would never be masking either bishuka, or with kisha diyarka, so even one of the two is enough to go and say, sizgunish mitkunish. Now we have a new story. We have a husband and wife, and the husband and wife are looking for a shidduch for their daughter. And two shidduchim have been proposed. One of them happens to be a relative of his, like a cousin or a second cousin. And the other shidduch is a relative of hers, her cousin. Now, cousins, of course, are allowed to marry. Whether that's a good idea or not a good idea, hemophiliacs and all that, that's a separate issue. But, of course, they're not kroivim that they cannot get married. They're allowed to get married. So, Hahu, the man said, I'd like our daughter to get married to my relative. The Amun, she says, I'd like the daughter to get married to the kreva, to her relative. So they had a discussion about it. And Kafse, eventually, she convinced him. We're not talking Kafse, literally means she tied him up. But Rashi says, we're talking about bidvarim, with words. She eventually convinced him, Adi Omalot, to have the kriva. You know what? Fine. I'm not going to fight it. If you want it for your karav, no problem. We'll marry off our daughter Shprinza to the wife's kriva. Okay. They hired a wedding hall, and now we're in the middle of the Kabbalah's Panim, where the men of the Kabbalah's Panim, everybody watching as the Masad Kedushin is writing out or filling out the Tanoim and the Ksuva, arranging for the Edim to sign the whole 9 yards, and all the women are at the smorgasbord and they're all coming over to the Kala to wish a Mazel Tov, and everything is really, really nice. And guess what? At Achli B'Shossi, even before they get to the wedding dinner, or as they are already eating and drinking at the Kabbalah Spanim and at the reception at the Shmork, Osikreve, his Karev came and whisked the Kala away from the Shmork and took her up to the Igret, to the roof, the Kitcha, and said to her, "Here, I have a ring. Put the ring on. Hurry up, Mekudeshesli." Okay. Now the question is, the father now probably is saying to himself that he's very, very happy because he wanted the daughter to go and marry his Karev. But on the other hand, he had already agreed to his wife that not to give the daughter to his Karev, but to give the daughter to her Karev. So now the question is, do I have to say over here also, Shemon Nisratze Ho'av, that maybe the father was maskim to this marriage? And once again, the Gemara leaves out one important element, and that is that the girl was a ktana. And when a ktana gets the Kesef Kedushin, that was what Rav and Shmuel said, if she did it on her own without her father's participation, Shemen is Ratzaaf, you need a get, you need a miyun, because maybe in fact it was a kosher marriage after all. What would you say in this case? Would you say Shemen is Ratzaaf? Om Rabbaya Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, She'enus Yisrael Yasa Avlo V'lo Yidabru Chazav. What does that mean? Once the husband gave his commitment to his wife to go and marry her off to the girl, not to the girl, to the boy that is her Karev and not his Karev, we no longer say that Shemen is Ratzav, that maybe the father agreed to the marriage of his daughter to his Karev. He had already pushed away his card. He says, "Fine, good, I'm going to go and agree with you, my wife, to marry your card, not my card." So we assume that he will not go and lie and change his mind, and that loynis ratzav, and therefore the marriage on the roof was worthless, meaningless marriage. And therefore she can now proceed and get married to the chosin down below, who's still waiting the Kabbalah spanim to have the Edison and the Chup and all the rest. This is Abaye. Arova says, "I agree with you, Abaye, but for a different reason. Chazaka ein adam terech v'suda u'mafsida. After all, you know how much this wedding cost? There were 500 people at the smorgasbord, and another 500 people at the Kabbalah Spanim, and they paid a huge amount for the flowers and for the musicians and for the photographers and this and that and the other thing. And everybody knew that she is getting married to the chosin, who is her karev, to go and snatch away the chasana in the middle of the chasana and have his karev go and marry her. People are going to say, 'Are you nuts? You spent $100,000 for this marriage and you threw the whole thing in the trash bin and allowed your daughter to go and get married to somebody else.' You know, half of the guests were from the chosin side and they must be furious. They came for the chosin. You're just throwing this whole meal out. You're throwing out all this money. And therefore, the marriage again to his karev on the roof is meaningless. Both reasons are excellent reasons. It wasn't such an expensive chasana. In other words, all chasana was a $5 or $10 chasana. I knew a person by the name of Mr. Fried, Zichron Levracha. He was a Holocaust survivor. And after after he was freed from the camps, he married his kala. And so people would come to him for achnosis kala and say, "We need to marry off this chusin kala, and unfortunately there's no money, and can you go and donate generously?" And he would say, "I'm prepared to give you $6.5. "Why $6.5? He says, "Because when I married my wife, the whole chasana, which was some herring and ayakichu, all cost $6.5 altogether. If I can get married for $6.5, you can also get married for $6.5. Anyway, whether that was the right approach or not is not the point. The point is, maybe we're talking about it, what happens if you had a situation where he agreed to his wife to go marry her off to her karev, and they in fact performed a very private ceremony with only 10 people present, not 500,000 or 500 plus 500, 8,000, just a couple of people. It was no major expense. The whole thing was $5 or $10 or $50 chasana, the whole geschäft. And then now his karev goes and marries the girl in the middle of the wedding and snatches her away. So the swara of Rava of Chazok Einam Terech B'Suda Mafsida doesn't apply. This whole suda cost them $5. On the other hand, the swara of Abaya does apply. Sheris Yisrael Yasa Avli Yidab L'Chazam, and therefore, according to Abaya, the marriage with his karev will be meaningless, will have no effect. But according to Rava, it might be effective after all. Maybe Shem Nisratza Av, and we go back to the loch of Rav and Shmuel, she would have to have a get and a meal. So now the Gemara continues, Nochmo. Now we continue on to the next step. Niskadsho l'dasaviyah. The father was maskim to the Kiddushin. The father, in fact, accepted the Kesef Kiddushin, and that was glorious, that worked perfectly. Now what happened? They are scheduling a date for the chuppah. As you know, you're supposed to wait. The waiting time between Eris and Nisuan is typically up to a year. And eventually there's going to be a Nisuan. But in the meantime, in the meantime, he went on a trip, presumably to make some business, to make enough money for the Nadin and for the Chasana. So he went away. And what did she do? The Omdivinesis. She didn't wait for the year, and she didn't wait for her father to come back. Maybe she did wait for the year, but the father didn't come back yet. The bottom line is, the father was not there at the time of the chuppah, at the time of the nisuin, and therefore, this is now not a kiddushin shaloi the dasavia, it's a nisuin shaloi the dasavia. So what's the halacha now? Omarav, what happens if the chosin was a koyin? Amarav, oicheles betruma achiyobi avia v'yimcha. She can go and eat truma until the father returns, and if at that point he'll be moicha, then there won't be a nisuin, and she won't be able to continue eating truma. But in the meantime, she can eat truma. Now the svara is a very simple svara, because as everybody knows, min ha-toira, an arusa is allowed to go and eat truma. Why? Because it says in the pasuk, koyin ki yikna nefesh kinyan kasboy. And a kala is also continued to be a kinyan kasboy. And therefore, bottom line is, she can go and eat truma. So why do we say that an arusa should not eat truma? So Barry is going to tell us the two reasons, either because of Shema. Oh, Shema Tashka, because since she's still living under the auspices and in the house of her father, when the brothers and sisters see that she gets these delicious shlachmunis from time to time from her husband, the koyin, the orus, and that's truma, they're going to say, oh, those danishes look delicious, and that bottle of wine, wow, that's glorious, that's beautiful. But it's all truma, and she might share it with her siblings, and therefore because of that chshash, we said, the arusa should not eat truma. Or because of simpoin. Simpoin means that maybe when the nesuin is going to happen, he's going to find that she is a bal mum, and he's going to say, this was a mekach tois, I never took a girl that was a bal mum, balas mum, and therefore that's why she should not go and eat truma. But that's midraban. But midraisa, she's allowed to eat truma. And over here, the father was maskim to the kedushin. So 99% he's going to be maskim to the nisuin. So she can go and eat truma. If he's moicha, then she'll stop eating the truma. But in the meantime, she'll rely on the deraisa that she's allowed to eat the truma, and on the this is not a shemanis ratza av. The av was already maskim to the kedushin. It's only maybe you'll have a problem with the chuppah. Probably not. If he agreed to the kedusha, he'll probably agree to the chuppah as well. So therefore, says Rav, she can eat. Rav Asi Amein Eichavs, Shemiyovi Avi Avi Yimcha. Maybe he will be moicha after all, for whatever reason, between the kedusha, between the Eidris and the Nisuan, he found out that the chosin had some bad midois, and he's not maskim to the shidduch any longer, and he won't agree to the Nisuan. The nim tzorah chavis betrul, I'm afraid. So now, this girl has been a zorah all along, meaning that midrabanan she had no right to eat, and therefore she'd be eating truma mafreya toynish, and therefore don't allow her to eat truma until the father arrives on the scene and he says yes or no. So there was a real life case. Choshla Rabba lahod Ravasi, and Rabba was in fact machmir like Ravasi and said to the girl, don't eat truma because maybe the father will return and he will be in Meicha. Omer of Shmuel Barav Yitzhak, Umay Derav, Shemesa Eini Yarsha. Even though we said that Gabi Hilchis Truma, that if the father is not there, and she does Nisuin on her own, then normally whenever there's Nisuin, then the husband, of course, who's now a full-fledged husband, he's no longer just an Orus, he is now the Nosui, he's now the full-fledged husband, if she dies, he yarshins her. So says the Gemara, what happens if the father comes home, Nebuch the girl died, who gets the Yerusha? Does the father get the Yerusha? Or does the husband get the Yerusha? Based on what Rav said until now, that one can assume that Nisratza Av, because he was maskim to the Kiddushin, he was probably maskim to Nisuin, I would think that the husband would get the Yerusha, says Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzhak. No, Rav agrees, ain't a Yerusha. Why? Because here we're talking about Mominus now. We're not talking about Isser. When it comes to Mominus, Ukim Amoinim Cheskis Mare, and who is the Cheskis Mare? That's the father, the Yoresh of the daughter. In other words, any money that she had or that she was entitled to was hers. And the father is the natural Yoresh of that daughter. And so therefore, says the Gemara, in such a situation, unless you can prove otherwise, the father will get the Yerusha and not the husband. Now, a new case. Niskatcha ledas, v'nissa shaloi ledas, v'via kan. Oh, so what's the fact on how is this different than the previous case? The previous case was that the father was in Medina Sayyam. So obviously we couldn't ask for his consent. But here, the father is present. He's here in New York as this is taking place. However, she didn't ask his permission. She went ahead and did the chuppah on her own. What's the din now? Ravuna Omar, Eino Yichalis. You can assume that the father is not masking, and she cannot eat truma until we hear what the father has to say. Rav Yehuda Amar Omar Eichalus, she can eat. And the Gemara explains, Ravuna Omar Eino Eichalus. Rafil Rav Di Omar Eichalus. Even according to Rav that said in the previous case that you can eat because we assume that the father will consent, since he consented to the Kedushin, he'll probably consent to Nisuin. He's not here, he's in Medina Sayyam, but probably he will consent, and therefore Eichalus. Hosam Hudalay Isal Av, the father is not present. The father is here in town. Hide the ishtik, even if he is silent and says nothing. Mirsach Rosach, he is fuming. He's saying, what a daughter I brought up. I was masking to the Kedusha, but I didn't say you can have a chuppah. When you want to have a chuppah, we have to schedule a date. We have to work out the details. I have to talk to the Muchatanim. Where are you going to live? Where's going to be? Where will the marriage take place? Blah, blah, blah. You have no right to do that. And therefore, even though he's quiet now, he is inside fuming. And that's why he says, this man, Yomar, Eina Eichelis, we can assume the father's loinus ratza. Lady, please put yourself on mute. Lady, please put yourself on mute. So that was... I'm sorry? Okay, no problem. Just put yourself on mute. We continue on. So that's according to Rafuna. No, she can eat betruma. Even the previous case where Ravasi said when the husband, not the husband, when the father's Medina Sayyam, here we would agree. Because what was the story before? Maybe the father will return from Medina Sayyam and he'll be mocha and he'll say, I'm not happy that you had a chuppah. Here, he's present in New York, he's here at this time. If he is quiet, it's he must be masking, because if he wasn't masking, he'd call up his daughter and he'd say, Spritzer, what did you do? Are you nuts? Are you crazy? The fact that he was shoysik is a simon that b'diavad is nichale, and therefore Eichelis, she can eat truma after all. Next case. Niskaji shaloi ledas, the kiddushin was shaloi ledas avia, v'nisi shaloi ledas, v'avia kan. So we have a double whammy. Both the kiddushin and the nisuin took place without advising her father. Again, we're talking all these cases about Ektana. And the Via is here. She's present. What's the halacha now? Rav Huna Omar Eichelis, Rav Yirmi Bar Abba Omar Eino Eichelis. So this is really very, very interesting, because if you go back 10 lines or so, in the previous case, it was Niskatshu Ledas, V'nissi Shaloi Ledas, V'avir Kan. So it's the same fact pattern, except that the previous case was Niskatcha Ladas, he was Niskatcha Shaloi Ladas. But Nisi Shaloi Ladas, Avia Kan, otherwise the facts are the same. What did Rav Huna say before? Eino Eichelis. What does Rav Huna say now? Eichelis. What did Rav Yirmiyahu ben Abba say before? Oichales? Here he holds, ain't oichales. Is pung faket. Now let's analyze each one of them. Let's talk about Rav Yirmiyahu ben Abba for a moment. Rav Yirmiyahu ben Abba said in the previous case, Miskatshu Adas, the father was masking to the Kedushin. He is present. Nobody asked him. And the Chosin and Kala went under the chuppah without his permission. So what did Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba say? Oichale she can eat truma. You know why she can eat truma? After all, he was maskin to the Kiddushin. Presumably, he would be maskin to Nisuin if you asked him. And now that the Nisuin took place, and Shtuki Mishaska, and he's quiet, Shika Koido, apparently he's maskin to the Shidduch. And after all, he was maskin to the Shidduch originally. It was a Kiddushin. So therefore, in that case, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba says, Oichale. Our case is talking about that the father was here, and the daughter didn't ask him about the Kiddushin. She didn't ask him about Nisuin. So it's very possible the father is fuming. So ein oichales. Don't eat truma, because maybe he's not masking. That's very simple. It's Rav Huna, which is the chayra punk fakert. Because Rav Huna said in the previous case, where we know that the father was masking to the Kiddushin. Just Nisuin we don't know. Ein oichales. Guess what? Don't eat. Because maybe he's fuming inside, he's very upset. Here, where the father didn't know about the Kiddushin, and he didn't know about the Nisuin, he didn't know about anything. And now says, oh, Rav Huna says, that's fine. You can eat. We can assume the father is okay. The father's double fuming. He's fuming about not asking his permission for the Kiddushin, and he's upset about the chuppah. And you say, nah, it's probably okay. It's like pouring vinegar over a person's teeth to dull the teeth, and to go and pour oshan smoke in a person's eyes. In other words, this is a quote from a pasuk in Mishlei, but the point is, I don't understand. It should be just the opposite. Rav Yirmiyahu ben Abba is so logical. What Rav Huna is saying is so illogical. Hashta uma hasam the kedushin diaraisa. The kedushin was a good kedushin in the Torah. So in the Torah she was allowed to go and eat. Why was it a good kedushin? Because it was talking about the previous case. Nisratza niskatcha ledas. The father was maskim, was beaten a satul ishazeh. He was maskim, and they got married. Minat Torah, she'd be allowed to eat the truma. She's only not allowed to eat because of the shema tashke, shema simpain. But otherwise, Minat Torah, everything is fine. Amris Liochla says now, Rav Huna in the previous case, no, don't eat because she engaged in chuppah without his permission. Hocha, in our case, we have neither a kedushin diraisa, because the father was not involved. She just was Mekadosh herself on her own. And the chuppah was on her own. Everything on her own. No Kiddushin Deraisa. This is all on her own. Nevertheless, what does Rav Huna say? Yeah, Oichelis, here she can eat. Hachalekoskin, Chamalis, she shouldn't be able to eat. I don't understand Rav Huna. And therefore, says the Gemara, Nirin, that's why I much prefer the Talmud of Yirmiyahu ben Abba to the Rebbe, because of what Yirmiyahu ben Abba says makes a lot of sense, like we said before. First case, Niskatcha ledasavia, Oichalis. In our case, Niskatcha shaloi ledasavia, and Oichalis. Omer Rava, my time with Rav Huna. After all, Rav Huna was no fool. What does Rav Huna taka hold? Says the Gemara, Hoyu benase ba maise. What means Nasa Maisi Semchayav? Avada, we're not talking about Chas Hashanah, the father died. The father is alive. However, the fact that she went and got not only Kiddushin, but also Nisuin, without the father saying a word, in other words, without his consent, without his participation. And now, after both of these events took place, the father continues to be silent. I ask you, when a person, Chas Shalom, goes and curses someone else, or he gives a patch to someone else, sometimes, if you are a nice, idle person, you will hold it in, and you won't curse back, and you won't hit back, because, okay, he did it one time. But if he's going to give you two patch, then, of course, then you're going to go and say, what's going on over here? And you're going to want to punch the guy in the nose, right? And if a curses you, Chas Shalom, twice, you might want to give it back to him in spades. So it says the Gemara over here, this daughter did a double avla. Number one, she was Mekadosh herself without her father, and she did chuppah without her father. How could it be that the father was shoysek? If he was shoysek, says Rashi, is the chasimin that shtika kohido. Because a normal father, if he was upset, he would be screaming up and down. And the fact that he accepted it with a smile, or even without a smile, is a sim that he was maskim after all in the scotch of Ladaitoi, and this is Ladaitoi, and therefore she can continue eating Trumay Cheles B'Truma. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. Mitzvah to be continued tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Thank you all. 8:05 tomorrow morning in the Gittishuv.